Perhaps some of you over the years have experienced God moving in miraculous ways, you know, just providing wonderful healings, maybe to a friend or to yourself, just providing comfort in ways that only God can do. I remember a woman that I worked with a long time ago. She had gone in for a lumpectomy, and when the results came back, they told her she had to come in immediately for emergency mastectomy. And a lot of people were praying for her through this whole entire episode, this whole time. And after the surgery, she was given a totally clean bill of health and needed no further treatments. And what was amazing to me was in less than a week after this huge major surgery, she was back to work. And she would share often how she just through the whole thing experienced God's tremendous love and peace and comfort through it all. And she said that was really what it was all about. It was what she would call a God thing. And maybe we've all had those God thing moments. I've shared this story with some of you, and you're probably aware of it. Kathy and I had a God moment a number of years ago when we were a few years younger, trying to have children. And we tried for nearly 20 years to have children, had several miscarriages through the whole process. Very, very challenging time. In many of those years, I can remember getting very discouraged and just crying out to God, where are you? God, what are you doing? I was even thinking maybe I had done some horrible sin and I was being punished for that, okay? It was just a really difficult, difficult time. And I remember the enemy whispering in my ear, you know, oh, God promises to give you the desires of your heart and he's not doing it, you know. And just these things would just haunt me. You ever had those thoughts? Yeah, I think we've all probably had moments like that. You know, the truth is, God was there with us, with me, through that entire thing, doing some amazing, amazing things, especially in my own life. During that moment of this experience, 20 years trying to have kids, I was also involved in a ministry. It was a call to awareness ministry. It was CAM, I called it, where I would train Christians on what the cults believed, and then also how do you talk to them when they come to your door. And you probably can tell where this is going. A very close pastor friend of mine took me out to lunch one day, and he says, Mike, I know what's going on. You know, and I'm expecting to say it's that sin that you're not. No, he said the enemy is really trying to attack you and pull you away from the Lord because you're in his camp right now. And, you know, it was at that very moment that he's like, you're right. And I felt this huge, just this release of this dark cloud. I felt this overwhelming supernatural faith come upon me. And it was just a few weeks later we found out that we were pregnant with Rochelle. But, yeah, amen. But you know what? God, he was in control that whole entire time, but he was allowing that for a couple of things. One, to strengthen my faith, even though I felt like my faith was going down the drain. He was strengthening my faith, and he was preparing me for something even bigger in the future. And I think part of that was doing what I'm doing today. God just does some amazing things in people's life sometimes. And but you know, because of that whole experience, as your pastor, I can truly say I empathize with you when you're going through a difficult, dark time, when you feel like your faith is just slipping away. I know what you're feeling. And I can pray with you. I can empathize. I can sympathize with you. I know where you're at. I know where you've been. But God will get you through it. And we're going to talk about that this morning. I'm sure many of you have similar testimonies of what God's done in your life. And but what I've shared with you so far has been health issue type things. But, You know, there's other things that we can have go on in our life. You know, just times when you're in a really bad situation or trouble or emotional pain. You know, times when life just doesn't seem fair. You know, and we just cry out, God, where are you? Right? Remember Job? He had a very similar situation. Chapter 13 of Job, verse 24, he cried out to God, why do you hide your face and consider me your enemy? The psalmist, chapter 10, verse 1, he says, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in time of trouble? Where are you, God? The prophet Isaiah, he wrote, truly you are a God who hides himself, O God and Savior of Israel, Isaiah 45. He was in one of those situations. God, where are you? King David. Remember King David? He was a man after God's own heart. You know, a godly man. He wrote these words in the 13th Psalm, verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Have you ever felt that way? Where are you, God? Listen to these words of Habakkuk 1:2. See if you can relate. How long, O Lord, must I call for your help, but you do not listen? Yeah. The next time you feel like you're being afflicted, that you're in one of these deep, dark times, and you feel like you're the only Christian going through that, remember these great saints that we read about in the Old Testament. They had their moments of loneliness too. They also had moments where they felt like God had abandoned them. But you know, there's other times. What about those times when you disobey God or you walk away from the Lord for a while? You know, that too can be a form of spiritual affliction. And sometimes it can be an affliction in itself that will draw us away from God. So there's so many different ways that we can have this experience of feeling like God's left us. That's not our God. That's not our God. When we're away from God, it's easy to lose hope. But God wants to restore our hope. Sometimes we may need emotional healing. And God wants to heal. He's lovingly, he's waiting patiently for us just to repent and come back to him when we've walked away. Open your Bibles. We're getting there. 2 Corinthians, we just started this letter of Paul's. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We started last week. And as I explained, this is actually his fourth letter, his first and third letters. We don't have copies of, although he mentions them in his other two letters that we have here. The believers in Corinth, as we've learned, had a lot of problems, and they were turning their eyes off of the Lord and onto themselves. They were extremely self-centered and prideful, and yet we see that they would repent and try to turn things around, and then they would fall back away from the Lord, and it's just back and forth kind of a thing. You know, and I can imagine, remember after his last letter to them, how they had finally turned back to the Lord again and had accepted Paul back, you know, as their buddy, and, you know, things finally got well again, and so Paul was so excited. But, you know, I can imagine that at that very moment, as Paul, you know, he has this heart, this pastor's heart, he sensed that these guys are discouraged. They're probably having, you know, just frustration and so forth, and they needed some encouraging words of comfort. Paul, that's what Paul's going to show us this morning. He's going to show us some biblical facts about comfort, such as, we're going to see the source, this morning. The recipient, the purpose for comfort. We're going to look at the results of comfort, and then lastly, the power in comfort. So we're going to pick up this morning with verse 3, chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, beginning with, well, let's start at the beginning so that we can get back into the flow here of Paul's letter. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, God of all comfort. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. You know, of course, it should be no surprise of where comfort comes from. It comes from God the Father. But did you catch something unusual here in verse 3? You know, we read these things and we just kind of slide right on through them. Okay, that sounds cool. You know, let's keep on going here. I want to draw your attention to this. It says, the God of comfort, the Father of mercies, is the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, okay, yeah, okay, so what's the big deal? The emphasis here is that the source is God the Father. God the Father. You know, and we would think, well, Jesus, you know, he's God. He didn't need mercy. He didn't need comfort. In one sense, that is true because he is fully God. However, I think Paul wants to make a really good point here, something that he wants us to catch. Jesus was not only fully God, but he was fully man. Fully man. And according to Philippians chapter 2, as fully man, Jesus gave up some of his rights as deity. Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Do you realize what that means? God the Son, the man Jesus, had all the same needs and experiences that you and I have, the same things that we go through, and he was committed to his Father. He too received comfort. He received comfort. In Matthew chapter 4, we have the account of Jesus fasting for 40 days. Some of you may recall that story. Verse 2 says that he then became hungry. You think you fast for 40 days and then you become hungry? I would have been hungry after the first 40 minutes. But he was hungry, it says. And, of course, then the enemy comes in and he starts tempting him. In fact, tempts him 3 times. You know, well, you're God. You can make bread for yourself and make yourself food. And Matthew's account of this story tells us that not only was Jesus strengthened and comforted by God's word. Remember, he kept quoting Old Testament scripture to the enemy. You know, this is what God says. But he also goes on to say that by verse 11, he says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Instead of using his own divine power and saying, okay, enough is enough, boom, here's a nice plate full of food, he allowed the Father to send him comfort, to send these angels to comfort. And I'm sure that part of that comfort meant giving him some food and some drink. But he allowed the Father to comfort him. Again, in Luke chapter 22, when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives to pray, and this was probably the most heart-wrenching prayers that he ever prayed. This is just moments before he's about to go and be crucified. Luke chapter 22, verse 42, it says, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. And then verse 44 says that being in agony, being in agony. He was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Have you ever prayed like that? You can imagine the anguish, the agony that Jesus was in when he prayed this. And I don't, quite frankly, think that we could ever, ever comprehend that kind of prayer, that kind of agony. But get this, verse 3 says, "Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him, comforting him." Do you suppose Jesus knows what it means to be comforted? Do you suppose he knows what it means to be having affliction? Absolutely. He knows exactly what we feel and what we're going through. Listen to these words of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. "For we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need." Jesus understands. God the Father, he's not only our source of comfort, but the Son can empathize with what we're going through and experiencing. He's been there. He's experienced. That is such great assurance. That just knowing that alone should bring comfort to us. But look at verse 4. It says, "Who comforts us in all our affliction." That's who the recipient is. Each one of us, every one of us, receives God's comfort. God cares about each and every one of his children. He cares about you. He cares. And about every little problem, every detail of your life, he cares. You know, God would never look at you and say, "Oh, there he goes again, doing the same thing over again. I'm fed up. I'm no more. I just can't handle it anymore." That's not our God. That's not our God. Come to him 100 times, 1,000 times. He's there. He cares. He wants to give you comfort. Think about this for a minute. You know, we've talked about this in many passages, before, sermons before, but how much are you worth? And how much did God pay for you? We can't even put a number on the price that he paid. Do you think that he's going to let something that he's paid that much for just kind of go by the wayside? He's going to care for his kids. He loves his kids. He's going to comfort whenever possible. But here's a question that probably every one of us here have asked at some time in our life. If God wants us to be comforted, then why does he allow affliction? Huh? If he so much wants to comfort us, then why does he allow us to have problems in our life? That's a great question. And so it's such a good question, Paul goes on to answer it here in our text. Look at our passage. Let's pick up again verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Verse 4 shows us that the reason sometimes that we go through affliction is and receive is so that we can comfort others, so that we can empathize just like Jesus with us, so that we can understand and comfort other people. 2 Timothy 3:12. This will really encourage you. "All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus," here you go, "will be persecuted." Doesn't that make you feel good? Yeah, God, I want to live for you. Okay, you're going to be persecuted. Really? Whether we're being afflicted as a result of living a godly life or just out of everyday trials, tribulations, or even because of sin, all of us are going to experience suffering, afflictions of some sort. And so consequently, we all need God's comfort. And God does and wants to provide that comfort. In the same passage that I just read from 2 Timothy, Paul wrote these words to Timothy in just a couple of verses previously. Listen to what he says. He says, "You followed or you witnessed my teaching, my conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me." Every persecution and suffering that Paul went through, he says, the Lord delivered me. And seeing how God delivered Paul should be great encouragement to us. It was a great encouragement to Timothy. When Kathy and I went through those 20 years of trying to have kids, those painful years, and losing several through miscarriage, during that particular time, I felt like I was the only human being on the face of this earth experiencing that degree of affliction. It was so painful. But you know, afterward, looking back, it was amazing to see how many other couples out there are going through the same thing. And so we are now able to understand, empathize with them, and give them comfort that God will give you peace. He will be with you through the whole thing, and that there is a purpose. Whatever you are going through, maybe even to this day, today, God is with you. God will deliver you, and he will be able to take that experience to be able to encourage others who are going through the similar things. But you know, it's important to note, the way that God delivers us may not be in the timing in the way that we expect. Okay, God, I know you're going to deliver me. And I'm praying it'll be next week. It may not be his way. But he will deliver you one way or the other. You know, I've known people with life-threatening diseases, illnesses, life-threatening, and prayed, you know, heal me physically. And God didn't choose to heal them physically, but he still delivered them in another way. But yet they went on to say that they still, through the whole thing, had peace. They knew God was with them through the whole thing, giving them comfort. God uses our afflictions to comfort others. Very important. Next, Paul says that he uses our afflictions to make us more like Christ, to transform us into his image. Verse 5 again, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort." How many times have we heard a Christian tell some unbeliever that just give your life to the Lord and your life will be great? You know, I tell people, give your life to the Lord and you're in for a challenge. Because we will have suffering, we will have persecution. Or better yet, you know, to hear a pastor preach a sermon that just say, if you just had more faith, your life will be filled with blessings, trouble-free. I'm sorry, but they're doing people an they're doing more harm than good. Because that's not what the Bible tells us. Nowhere in the Bible does God promise to give us a trouble-free life. In fact, the Bible repeatedly tells us that we will suffer. And oftentimes, it will be so that we can comfort others. Sometimes it'll be so that it strengthens our faith, as in my personal case. You know, when we think of and I have to think about this from time to time. When I think about the degree of suffering and affliction that Jesus went through for me, how much he was willing to suffer to the point of even death on the cross, Shouldn't we be willing to endure a little bit of suffering? A little bit of affliction? Promise me there's no affliction on this earth that you're going to experience that's going to be as great as what he suffered for us. And so for that reason alone, we should be willing and welcome and thankful for the affliction that God allows. It strengthens our faith. We can comfort others. Listen to what Paul has to say about afflictions. It's Philippians 3, 7 through 12. I won't put it up, but just listen closely. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of a few things. Suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, you know, doing good things, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. I keep on enduring. I keep on going through this affliction, this suffering, in order that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Wow. As Paul has shared in our passage this morning, As we share in abundant sufferings, you know, like Christ did, we also will share in the abundant comfort that Christ received from God the Father. He wants to comfort. You know, we know that for gold and silver to be purified, it needs to go through an intense heat, fire to burn out all those impurities, to make it pure. For a diamond to become what it is, it starts out as a chunk of carbon, like a piece of coal, and it goes under tremendous heat and pressure to become a diamond. For you and I to be conformed into the image of Christ, we need to go through the heat, through pressures, through trials, afflictions, so that those impurities of this world can be pushed and purged out of us, so that we can be stripped away from those things, to be conformed to his image. But we can be encouraged. Verse 5, the more we experience suffering, the more we're going to experience his comfort. We're going to become more like Jesus. It's worth it. Well, Paul gives us another reason for affliction in verse 6. He says, but if we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation, or if we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, but what he's pointing out here is that going through afflictions can not only strengthen your faith, but it can be for salvation. It can even bring unity among the body. You know, as we see each other going through various kinds of afflictions and trials and difficult times in life, and as we see how God comforts one another, it should be encouraging and strengthen our faith just to see how God is working amongst the body. It grows our faith. You know, I'm reminded of a situation. You might be familiar with this story, a story of Peter just before the Lord's crucifixion. And this is such an encouraging story. Luke chapter 22, Jesus tells Peter, Simon, Simon, that was Peter's birth name, by the way, later to be called Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission. I always love that. He didn't just ask, he demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Not that you'd be protected, not that he'd leave you alone, but that your faith would not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, see, he already knew there was going to be an issue here, that you would then be able to strengthen your brothers. Jesus prayed for him. You know, Peter, he had a great heart. He meant well. He loved the Lord. You know, he even told the Lord three times, "Lord, I love you." He even said at one point that he would be ready to go to prison and even die for his Lord. But what happened? You know, we say that we sometimes are lacking in faith. Three times he denied even knowing the Lord. You think Peter was going through some affliction? You know, I'm not talking about, you know, daily life persecution kind of stuff, but deep heart affliction. It was, yeah, for sure. But he was comforted as he remembered what the Lord had prayed for him. He was strengthened, and as we know, he became a stronger believer than ever and strengthened his brothers. Affliction, suffering, it will strengthen our faith. It will make you stronger as a child of God. Furthermore, did you know that the unbelievers out there are watching you? Oh, I want to see him fall so I can just say, see? They're watching us, and they want to see, is there really peace in their life when they're going through sufferings? Can they truly demonstrate that God is giving them comfort? They're looking for that. You know, they're trying everything they can possibly get their hands on to try to get this peace and this comfort that God's Word talks about. And they're watching us to see if it's genuine. If they see the real thing, it's going to draw them to Christ. So we can go through affliction, through sufferings, because as God comforts us and we demonstrate that comfort and that peace, it's going to draw people to Him. The lost can be drawn to the Lord through our afflictions. I also see that afflictions can develop unity within the body of Christ. Look at verse 7. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, we will also share in our, you'll also share in our comfort. You know, I think of Romans chapter 12, verse 15, which says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. You know, as we share in one another's afflictions, as we join, you know, in them and help them through their afflictions, we also share in their comfort. We can give them comfort. They can give us comfort. Isn't it encouraging to know that we're not walking in this alone? We're not the only ones in a difficult situation. There's lots of reasons, lots of results that can come out of afflictions and so forth, and a lot more that Paul doesn't even address here. But, you know, it's just great to know that God comforts us in all of them. Well, then the next verse, as we wrap up here, Paul shows us that God's comfort is powerful. It's powerful. Verse 8, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, to be uninformed or lacking of information here, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely, what, not on ourselves, but what? On God. God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. I shared last week quickly that, remember, Paul was forced out of Ephesus because a riot had broken out and everybody had turned against him and was in opposition to his ministry. Think about that for just a moment. Paul had spent years in Ephesus building this strong foundation of faith there in Asia for through his preaching of the gospel. And then suddenly this one little silversmith is threatened by Paul's ministry, and he gets mad and he goes around telling all of his co-workers and business people, Paul's gospel is threatening our business. And they all turned against him. And not only was Paul threatened for his life, but everything he had poured his life into was suddenly being threatened. How would you feel? How would you feel if you're in Paul's shoes? Well, from a human standpoint, Paul was suffering some pretty major afflictions here. He says he felt like a dead man. His life was at stake here. But he says something very interesting here in our passage. But before I show you that, listen to what Paul wrote to his brother Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 7. Now, as Paul's writing to Timothy here, he knew that his ministry was just about complete here. His days had come to an end, and yet he had complete peace about it. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 7, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." And now back to our passage in 2 Corinthians, verse 9, Paul says, "We had received the sentence of death." This is the only place in the New Testament where the word for death sentence is used. Paul recognized, unlike his letter to Timothy, that this was just a feeling that he had within himself, but yet that God was not done with him. And instead of trusting in himself, he trusted totally in the God of comfort. He trusted in the God who raises the dead and the God who would deliver him from affliction. God's comfort was way more powerful than anything his enemies could ever lay on him. He knew that. He trusted in that. Now look at how Paul concludes here in verse 10. He said, "He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." Just quickly here, I see three things that come out of trusting God's comfort. You can trust God's comfort. First, God will deliver you. God will deliver you. May not be in your timing, may not be the way you expected, but he will deliver you. Paul says he'll deliver us again. Secondly, as I mentioned earlier, when we're trusting in the Father of mercy and the God of comfort, it unites the body of Christ. It brings us together. We'll be lifting each other up in prayer and comforting one another through all these circumstances. And that's such an important lesson for us as God's children. Don't miss this. It is really nice to be praying for one another. You know, we're supposed to be doing that. But how can we pray when we don't know what we're praying for? We need to share with one another what we're going through, share with one another the afflictions that we're going through, so that we can pray intelligently for one another. When you're faced with a difficult trial, affliction, whatever, share it with your brothers and sisters so that they can join you in praying. And then when God answers those prayers, share that too, so that we can rejoice with those who are rejoicing. It brings us together. The third thing that I see, and we'll close with this, God receives the praise and the glory. We go through difficult times, whatever. Through it all, God is the one that receives the praise and the glory. Paul began by saying, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction." After all of Paul's deepest afflictions, he knew that he was exactly where God wanted him to be. There was no doubt. And it was only because of the Lord. The Lord got all the credit. And for that, he could only praise God. Only God could get the glory for that. Where are you today? What are you going through? What difficulty, what affliction are you in? Number one, share it with your brothers and sisters so that they can pray with you on that regard. So that we can comfort you in whatever it is you're going through. But just remember, it's only because of God's grace, His mercy, His love, and comfort, and for His glory. It's for Him, about Him. Father, He loves you and just wants to comfort. And we're in this together. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge to some of us. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you that you truly love us and want to comfort us. We're all going through something. But praise God that you know exactly where we're at. You know exactly what we need. You already have the details all worked out. We just want to have the strength and the faith to trust you through it all. So, Father, we just ask you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to just boost our faith. Give us the eyes to see you for who you truly are and to be able to just trust you no matter how dark and deep we feel like we're in something. You are so good to us. You're so gracious, so loving. And so, Father, again, we just give you thanks that you are the God of mercy, the God of comfort. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.